Okay, Chair, you are on the record.
All right, thank you, Jennifer. I will call to order the Bradley Lake Management Committee meeting for June 26, 2026 to order. Jennifer, if we could do a roll call, please.
Yes, sir. Alaska Energy Authority.
Curtis Thayer here.
Okay. Chugach Electric Association.
Arthur Miller here.
Okay. Homer Electric Association.
Brad Janorski here.
Okay. Golden Valley Electric Association.
Travis Million here.
The City of Seward.
Taylor Crocker here.
And Matanuska Electric Association.
Tony Izzo here.
We have a quorum, Chair.
All right, excellent.
I'm sorry, I'm just trying to transition between meetings.
Totally understandable. Thank you. All right, that moves us on to public roll call for all others present, please.
Okay, let's start with online. Is our attorney online? Start with him.
Yes, Jonathan Simon, Dan S. Feldman.
Okay. Next, we'll go to the folks from Homer Electric that are on the Teams meeting. Please identify yourself.
Andy Patrick, Homer Electric. Sorry, sir.
Okay, Andy Patrick and Sarah. Martin, you were muted.
Martin Love, Homer Electric.
Okay, next we'll go to Chugach Electric.
Sherry Heyer.
Okay, we had Sherry Heyer and Paul Millwood. Anyone else from Chugach? Okay, then we'll go to Alaska Energy Authority.
Mark Billings, the Alaska Energy Authority.
Ryan Gordon.
Okay, we had Mark Billingsley, Ryan McLaughlin, and Robert Varga. Anyone else from Alaska Energy Authority? Okay, next we'll go to Matanuska Electric Association.
Tony Zellers.
Matt Reister.
Okay, and then we'll go to Golden Valley Electric Association.
Dan Bishop.
Okay.
Sarah Villalon.
Okay. Is there anyone else on the Teams meeting?
Hi, this is Thomas Tofer of PFM, Financial Advisors.
Thank you.
Andrew Jensen, Governor's Office.
Okay. That's everyone on the Teams. We'll go to the folks in the room.
Jim Mendenhall, AEA.
Josie Hartley, AEA.
Bill Price, AEA.
Mark Ziesmer, AEA.
Pam Ellis, AEA.
David Pease, Matt Electric.
Julian Jensen, RT Casey.
Larry Jorgensen, Homer Electric.
Jess Spooler, HEA.
Matt Clarkson, Chugach.
John Sinclair, MEA.
Mike Miller, Chugach Electric.
Andrew Laughlin, Chugach Electric.
Okay, Chair, I believe that is everyone.
Okay, thank you, Jennifer. Moves us on to item number four, the agenda approval. If we can get a motion to approve the agenda, please.
Motion to approve. Curtis Thayer, second.
Okay. Are there any changes to the agenda or questions on the agenda? Hearing and seeing none, Jennifer, if we could do a roll call vote to approve the agenda as presented.
Yes, sir. Chugach Electric Association.
Arthur Miller, yes.
City of Seward.
Taylor Crocker, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association.
Travis Million, yes.
Homer Electric Association.
Brad Janorski, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association.
Tony Izzo, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority.
Curtis Thayer, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Item number five, public comments. If you'd open up for public comment, please.
Okay, so we will go to the folks in the room. If there's anybody in the room that would like to make a public comment. Okay, how about anybody on the Teams meeting that would like to make a public comment? Okay, then we'll go to the folks on the phone. If there's anybody who would like to make a public comment, please press star 9 and you'll be recognized. Okay, Chair, there's no public comments.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to approval of meeting minutes, we had our regular meeting on May 15th. We got minutes to approve, and then we had a special meeting on May 26th as well. Both of those are in your packet, so just need a motion to approve both sets of minutes.
Motion to approve. Curtis Thayer, AEA.
Arthur Miller, second.
Any questions, changes to the minutes, or anything else? All right, hearing seeing none, if we could do a roll call vote for approving the minutes for May 15th and May 26th, please.
Yes, sir. The City of Seward?
Taylor Crocker, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Travis Million, yes.
Homer Electric Association?
Brad Janorski, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority?
Curtis Thayer, yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Arthur Miller, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
All right, thank you. Seeing no new business on the agenda today, moving on to old business, Bradley Lake Expansion Project Update. Ryan McLaughlin, I'll turn it over to you for an update, please.
Sounds good. Ryan McLaughlin, Alaska Energy Authority. Pleased to announce that this morning around 8 a.m. Alaska time, we filed our final amendment application for the Bradley Lake expansion with FERC. This will be searchable on FERC's e-library, and we'll get it posted to AEA's website as well for everyone to see. But this was a big milestone for the project, and I'll go through some of the important components, some of the things that have changed, but encourage everyone to put through the license documents when you get a chance. That first picture we have up there is the updated project boundary. It includes the Dixon Diversion Site, the tunnel alignment, a 1,210-foot contour around the lake, and then all the existing project features. Some of the items I wanted to note in this meeting, we've proposed a variable minimum in-stream flow schedule. This was a change from the draft amendment application where we just had 100 CFS constant MIF throughout the summer. This one was developed in coordination with the agencies and some of the additional fish passage modeling we did. But essentially it releases more water down the Martin River during the upstream migration periods for coho and sockeye, and then less during the middle of summer when there's no upstream migration. So it balances benefits for fish and energy use while diverting about the same amount of water as a constant myth throughout the summer. We'll have a 16-foot pool raise that's going to be accomplished through raising the existing concrete spillway crest and adding spillway crest gates on top of that, as well as raising the existing dam embankment crest. This is going to add 62,000 acre-feet of storage and will increase the generating capacity by 0.9 megawatts. We also have in the application installation of a 0.3 megawatt micro-hydro turbine at the fish water release valve at the base of Bradley Dam. The tunnel will be 16-foot drill diameter with a 1-foot thick concrete precast segmental liner. The tunnel will be 4.6 miles long, elevation drop of 77 feet from inlet to outlet, and a capacity of 1,650 CFS. The diversion dam will be at the base of the Dixon Glacier. It'll include two 30-foot wide by 20-foot tall Obermeyer crest gates that can be fully dropped during high flows to sluice core sediment that deposits in the diversion pool. The diversion pool, we're expecting high sediment load coming off the Dixon Glacier. We want those to drop out in the diversion pool before going down the tunnel, and we've designed the diversion pool that way, but it will require periodic sediment flushing of the diversion pool. And since the Martin River is a very dynamic system, we've got extensive pre and post diversion monitoring, and we've got those plans, proposed plans, in the license amendment application. We just wrapped up our third Board of Consultants meeting. This was in Homer, Alaska this week. And we discussed the update on the probable maximum flood and probable maximum precipitation studies. We went through a lot of the design elements with the Board of Consultants, including the tunnel design, the geotech investigations, the dam design, and the spillway design, as well as took a site visit on Wednesday to see the diversion site and some of the in-progress drilling. On the drilling, the geotech campaign's underway. The drillers have been out there for about a month. They've drilled and tested two holes in front of the spillway, two holes at the toe of the dam, a hole at a potential quarry location, and a hole at the Dixon diversion dam location. And they began work this week on both of the deep tunnel boring alignment holes. That picture that you can see is one of the pads that they built up for these deep holes. They're 700 to 900 feet deep, so they require a little bit sturdier of a platform than some of these shallow holes that they've been drilling. We plan to procure cable for the three-phase power upgrade next month and issue a tree clearing contract for the fall so that we can get that taken care of, because the bird avoidance windows are for pretty long periods of time, and I think it's April through August, so we want to get that cleared this fall so we can construct the three-phase power in 2027. This next picture is at the front side of the spillway, a picture of a drill crew down there. We had to do that drilling this spring to time it with the low water levels at Bradley Lake at this that location. This table is just a table of our proposed flow release schedule at the Dixon Diversion. You can see it varies throughout the season, but it's roughly 100 CFS during the salmon migration periods and 75 CFS throughout the bulk of the summer. The next two pictures is a bird's eye view of the diversion dam location. You can see there's a sediment guide wall that will divert water and sediment to the diversion dam itself, a four-bay pool to slow water down, and then in the four-bay pool, we expect small sediment to drop out in the four-bay pool, of course sediment to drop out in the diversion pool before it goes down the Dixon Tunnel. And then this last picture is a plan and section view of the tunnel alignment based on all the geological mapping and investigations that happened over the past two summers. We're collecting more information currently, as I touched on. The drilling will go from right to left in this picture, so we'll start at Bradley Lake and end at the diversion. We cut across a couple large faults, notably about 4 miles, and we'll be crossing the Bradley River Fault. I'll leave it there for questions if you have any.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. Any questions for Ryan? All right. I'm not seeing any, Ryan. Great news on the filing of the application with FERC. Looks like things are moving along quite rapidly on that. Glad to see we're out there able to get the drilling and whatnot done to better understand what we're dealing with. So,
yeah, big milestone.
Yeah, just one thing on the point of where we are with Bradley. You know, it was relayed by the BPMC that they wanted to see this project ramped up and moved along as fast as possible to make sure that we take advantage of possibly getting deferring, or not deferring, but not depending on 1.5 billion cubic feet of natural gas. And in doing this, Ryan, his team, the team here, Jim, and Josie, and especially Mark, we've worked with FERC, and they have told us that they're going to shave a year off the process, and they hope to have a FERC license next summer for us. So that's one of the reasons why we are moving at the speed that we are, is we don't want to be in a position where we have a FERC license next summer, and we have another year worth of work to do to prepare to do construction. You know, and I think it's really important to know that when they filed with FERC this morning, you know, Kleinschmidt and Dow have been working on that for a very long time. It's a huge milestone in the sense that not only do we have the draft environmental done, we have the monitoring plans, all the detailed engineering, hydrology, and geotech work has been included in this application. So it is a very complete application. And there are hard copies that we can make available, or we'll get hard copies printed next week, but we can make them available. I would ask that if any of the utilities have a question, let's talk about it with us before sending a letter to FERC or have questions to that. Let's see what we can do here. The one thing I do want to know is it is a 16-foot dam, as we talk about it later. In order to qualify, potentially qualify for tax credits, it has to be 16 feet to create the head pressure to give us the additional power that hopefully will qualify for the alternative measurement standards. So, just up front, that's why that 16-foot is in there, is because then the tax credits could be up to $200 million. So we just and did that. And we did have, and we can talk about it more, but we did hire a national engineering firm, Voth, to help make that determination. So it wasn't done locally. We went out with international experts to help us because we have to provide that information to the Department of Treasury. So
thanks for that update, Curtis. So with that, with FERC accelerating it by 1 year, what's your current, if the project were to move forward, 2030?
We have to have a discussion later on our financing package to make sure our financing lines up with when we need the money to continue construction. And we have a lot of options. There's, in your packets, there's over literally 50 different scenarios of all the different financing and the different imaginations of it. So there's a lot of work that's been done there. But again, that's getting narrowed down by the CFOs and the AEA team. The CFOs gave us a 6-page letter and our response was 198 pages. So we're trying to be very thorough to make sure they have all the information and you guys have all the information as we go through this process. But our goal is that we have funding in line and that we can move forward as quickly as possible next summer with the FERC license. If it comes out, you know, hopefully next June, July.
All right. Any other questions either for Ryan or Curtis on the Bradley Lake expansion project update? All right. Seeing none. Thank you, Ryan, very much for the update. All right, that'll move us on to item 8B, Bradley Lake Expansion Capital Project Financing. Curtis, I believe that's you and Mark that will take the lead on that one.
Mark, are you online? You are online.
I am.
Did you want to do the public portion overview?
Sure, yes. So this is Mark Billings, the Alaska Energy Authority. I'm sorry, I actually called in a couple hours ago to make sure that my camera was working, but it's not working now, so I can't show my face there. We've got a quantitative analysis that we can go through in executive session. It's better suited for executive session because it's comparing the finance options that we're looking at from different potential lenders. Since we last had a BPMC meeting that had an update on this, I believe, we've really been working as we have for many months internally, but we've also really ramped up work with the CFOs of the utilities. We've had two meetings with them. So first we had, after the previous BPMC meeting, we received a letter from the CFOs asking for a list of information, and for the most part it was information that we were already, you know, we're working on gathering. A lot of it was information gathering and providing it to them. So we responded with a batch of information. And then we had a couple meetings, which has been Zoom or Teams meetings, with the CFOs from all the utilities. Sewer's been invited as well. I can't remember if they showed up at any. And also at those meetings, we've had PFM. So on the line right now is Thomas Topher from PFM. He's in Seattle, and they've been AEA's financial advisor for quite some time. And the second meeting also included AEA's bond counsel, Oric, both our regular bond counsel, and they have some tax-exempt bond experts there. So we've had two series of meetings with the CFOs. Yesterday we received a second letter asking for additional information from these CFOs. I think it was last night. I've read through it. We obviously haven't had a chance to respond to it. And the big things that they list in their most recent letter, and really for the first letter for that matter, are the things that we're looking at as well: tax credits and the different finance tools, what's the right tool for our situation. And we're really getting to the stage where a quantitative comparison of the financial options is what we're doing. We've pretty much got the options narrowed down. We know what the different options are that we're looking at. Now it's figuring out which option's the best given the uncertainties and the interest rates and the different programs, different features. So I mentioned we're working with PFM, financial advisor, ORIC, bond counsel, and then also, we've got tax credit, experts for the hydro field specifically, Hunt and Andrews Kurth, a law firm back in D.C. I think they're across the country, but the folks we're working with are back in D.C. So that's pretty much what I have for the public session. I believe the rest of it would be better suited to the executive session.
Okay. Any questions for Mark before we for a motion to go into executive session to dive into this deeper? All right, hearing and seeing none, if we could get a motion to go on executive session. I believe there's a handout on that motion.
Arthur Miller, Chugach, I move that the Bradley Lake Project Management Committee enter into executive session to discuss confidential financial matters, the immediate knowledge of which may have an adverse effect on the authority or the project.
Motion, second.
Curtis there, second.
All right, any discussion? All right, hearing and seeing none, Jennifer, if we could do a roll call vote to go into executive session, please.
Yes, sir. Golden Valley Electric Association?
Travis Million, yes.
Homer Electric Association?
Brad Janorski, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority?
Curtis Thayer, yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Arthur Miller, yes.
The City of Seward?
Taylor Crocker, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Jennifer. Please let me know when we're off the record, and we'll figure out who needs to stay in the room. While in executive session, we're back on the record and moving on to the regular agenda, item 8C, SIP Link update. Jim Mendenhall, I will turn it over to you for an update, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before I start talking about SIP Link, I just want to notify that AEA is working on the insurance to renewals for both Bradley and the Intertie. The rough range is about $1.5 million a year. Bill and Ryan have been working with the brokers on that. It looks like we're going to get Bradley's going to be about $150,000 savings. The Intertie goes up by about $400, and that's based on how much power revenue that flows through that. So just we'll keep you updated on that. But there was one other thing. In the interest of time, we'll go over this pretty quickly. AEA continues to work with Stantec and HDR on some of the environmental permitting and survey planning for the marine work we plan to do this fall. It's going to be some geophysical work, high level, some LIDAR mapping, floor depths, things like that. We're working on that. We're also working on with Stantec on the procurement documents for both request for request for qualifications and information, and that's going to be a phased approach to selecting people. One of the things they have to have before they do the final design on that cable is they need to know what the application is, where it is, and so this geophysical work will help roll into that, and there may be future needs of some grab samples down on the floor and exactly how we bury it or how it's laid. We had a team down there, some folks down there last week that looked at, they were both looking at the SS and the SQ lines. They also went out and did some investigations along where the launch point from the Nikiski side is. So hopefully we'll get some information there about zeroing in on where the landfalls are on that end. We're also working with Stantec on the converters, the request for proposals. That's going to, we think, another phased approach that will go work into the feed phase of the work. DOE on the administration, we have the, I think we reported last month that we had the continuation agreement that will carry us through June of 2027. And there was a slight cost change based on some work for a community benefits program that was excluded. Some of it we reallocated, some of it they clawed back. But AEA is authorized to expend up to $65 million for the next right now. And so far, up through the end of through June, we've spent $2.125 million on the project, and we are working on continually invoicing with the DOE. And then I think we've while the focus on the recent discussions was on some fundings for Bradley and some of the other projects, we are working diligently on the funding for the Sipling project. As I think Curtis has noted, that because we have a DOE grant, we are not eligible for any DOE funding. So we are looking at funding for the remaining $142 million on that. And no staffing changes. But if there's any specifics, I'll be happy to answer them.
Any questions for Jim? It doesn't look like it. I appreciate the report, Jim. It was very thorough and really easy to follow and gave a lot of those updates. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Moving on to SQ upgrade update. Rep from CEA doesn't have a name. Oh, there we go. Perfect.
Mike Miller, Chugach Electric here for the SQ update. So since we last met on project two, the bid for construction was out and we responded to bidder questions on the 18th. The construction bids are due on the 2nd of July. At that time, we'll get a better visibility on the potential outage window to the tie for construction and be able to kind of assess what that looks like and being aware of gas supply and deliverability landscape this upcoming winter, evaluate how we want to proceed. Still anticipating doing a notice to proceed for construction sometime in late July or early August on project two. Project three, steel bids currently out for steel structures that issued responses to bidder questions on the 12th of June, and those bids are due back on the 9th of July. And that's my update.
Excellent. Any questions? Off easy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. And moving on to SS line update. Looks like Homer is going to have an update for that one. Not sure who from Homer. Maybe we don't have an update on SS line.
I don't know if Brad knows for sure. Or?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm waiting. I thought Mrs. Zubek might be on, or Mike's Jose, and now Mike's been out. I think AEA staff was done looking at that line last week, so I haven't gotten an update since then.
Okay. I guess on that note,
perfect.
What I would like to do is I would like to make a motion that the BPMC desires to resolve the capacity rights issue relating to AEA-funded upgrades to transmission and substation facilities in relation to the SSQ line that are owned by Homer Electric Association and Chugach Electric Association. Therefore, I move that the BPMC Council evaluate these issues and report back at the next regularly scheduled BPMC meeting with recommended approaches, and I'm flexible on timing on when that is, but just to start that process so we can kind of get for that resolved in the next few months.
There's a motion on the table. Is there a second?
Arthur Miller, Chugach Electric, second.
Okay. Any discussion on this topic? All right, Jennifer, if we go a roll call vote to approve the motion on the table, please.
Yes, sir. Homer Electric Association?
Brazenowski, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority?
Curtis Thayer, yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Arthur Miller, yes.
The City of Seward?
Taylor Crocker, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Travis Million, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
All right, thank you. Moving on, item 9, Operators Report. Martin, turn it over to you.
Yeah, good morning. You all have had a chance to review my report. It's attached to your packet. Bradley Lake's running well at this currently at this time, and we have no major issues. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
As Martin said, his report was in the packet for us. Are there any questions for Martin? As Martin, the only question I had, just kind of looking through some of the information in your report, is lake level seems to be pretty flat over the last few months. The pictures didn't show a whole bunch of snowpack. How's lake level looking and projecting for this summer?
You have the water projection reports from the group that does that for you, but there's not a lot of snow up there at the lake. There's still some snow up at Battle Creek, but overall the forecast was about a little under normal.
All right, so I'm hearing pray for rain, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That would be a good thing.
All right. Well, thank you, Martin. I don't see any other questions for you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Moving on to committee reports. Mr. Ziesmer, if you could come up for the finance budget versus actual report. And maybe we can, because of the time, just kind of focus on the major items if we could.
Sure. This is Mark Ziesmer from AEA, and I'm here to discuss real quickly the Bradley Lake Budget Actual Expenses Report, and this is as of March 31st. Just some high-level Schedule A, which is your non-renewal and contingency. You can see so far $81,680 has been spent to date, leaving us a budget of $439,320. Let's move on to Schedule B, which is pages 3 to 5. Total expenses are currently at $4.9 million. That's approximately $901,000 under budget. Just some key items for 539, 541. There's an under budget of 139 and 147, and that's just basically due to annual maintenance being deferred till May for those two activities. We have some overages on the FERC 92930, mostly related to payroll. Payroll has come in much higher than what we had anticipated at the start, you know, planning the budgeting process at the start of the year. So we're over on that. Indirect costs, legal costs are also over. Legal costs is mostly related to the RCA work. Indirect costs related to mostly because we do our indirect allocation based on payroll. Payroll's increased. Indirect costs will be higher too. Going down to FERC 928, we're in the opposite direction, approximately 430 under budget, and that's mostly related to timing. We will have some costs hit from now to the end of the fiscal year, which will make up some of that difference. Some of the work that was anticipated for the current year will unfortunately be extended into the next fiscal year. So you can see the Schedule D, which is the renewal and contingency purchases. We total at $413,924. Down at the bottom of the report is the Bradley expansion, and you can see cumulative costs are $11.7 million since the beginning of the project. We'll move on now to pages 8 and 10, which is Schedule F, which is Battle Creek Operations and Maintenance. Total O&M expenses was $520,000, which leaves us $30,000 under budget at this point. We'll move on to Schedule I, page 12, SSQ line operations and maintenance. Total expenses was around $22,000, which leaves us $183,000 under budget. We'll move on to the last page of the report, Appendix A. This summarizes bond series 11. The primary activity, of course, are the two SSQ line upgrade projects. Total spending for all projects to date is $19.6 million. Just to note, oscillation dampening service, or ODS service, totals $2.25 million. That's all I have.
All right. Any questions for Mark? Not seeing any. Thank you for the update.
All right. Chair, yes. Can we just state for the record that there's some people who have joined on the phone line, and we're still in the BPMC meeting. It's the public meeting. You're welcome to stay, but the RTO hasn't started yet.
All right. Thank you for that clarity. All right. Moving on to item 10B, the O&D report. Josh, I see you're on the screen. I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah. You guys have my written report. Just for awareness, the O&D is going to be meeting at the project for our next meeting, July 17th.
All right. Any questions for Josh? I guess I do have one for you, Josh, and that's on the investigation of the relay settings. It's been on here for a while. Is there a scheduled meeting or anything like that on progressing that forward that you're aware of?
Yes. It's planned for next budget year.
Okay. Excellent.
Get that complete.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Well, since we've already had an executive session, I don't see a need for another executive session. Moving on to member comments, just verifying real quick. I see Brad had to drop off. He texted me and let me know. So, Tony, I'll start with you for comments.
Sure. Thank you, Travis. I just want to commend Ryan and AEA on the application filing. Congrats on getting that done at, I think it was, he said, by or before 8 a.m. this morning. That's great progress. Appreciate the AEA staff and the various committee members for the work that they do. Thanks.
Very good. Taylor, I'll move it over to you. Any comments?
No comments today.
All right. Arthur?
Nothing further. I echo the comments of Tony Izzo, and I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Curtis?
No, again, I want to thank everybody with AEA and the CEOs, CFOs, for having important dialogues as they go forward on determining kind of the next steps. The only thing I do want to raise, and it's really for the future, and that is we did have an issue the last couple weeks, or last week, with the SQ line going down for 12 hours, and I appreciate Brad. Brad called me. He let me know that it was down, kind of what the plan was, but I think we need to somehow set a better policy or procedure with maybe within the O&D committee that if a asset like Bradley or the SQ line or something that's taking it down, or there's a fire nearby, or we could be affected negatively, that there should be some sort of email or notification of the BPMC members. Because obviously for me, I have to notify my board, but more importantly, I've got to tell the governor that we have a line down. And the same thing kind of happened when we had the avalanche with the IMC and the boulder took that out. It was just, we just need find a better way to communicate, to the BPMC and others, of a situation that, like I said, affects an asset. And actually I will just, the fact there was a fire on Grandview really tells us why we need SIPLINK.
Yep.
So there is a silver lining in that, but luckily it wasn't damaged.
Jim, I see you chomping at the bit.
Yeah, well, just a quick, I sat in on the IMC meeting. The OND did discuss that. They're going to follow up and see if there are any procedures, and if not, update or create new procedures for notification. So that was addressed. Thank you.
All right. Excellent. Sarah, you want to make any comments for Homer?
Well, just to echo the comments and thank the committee and AEA staff and CFM for furthering the financing discussion.
everyone's fine. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you. And I would echo those same exact comments. Having been through a number of filings with FERC, it's never an easy task to do. So hats off to the team for getting that done. Next meeting date is set right now for July 24th, 2026. And with that, if we get a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All right. Jennifer, can we do a final roll call for adjournment, please?
Yes, sir. Matanuska Electric Association.
Tony Izzo, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority.
Curtis Thayer, yes.
Chugach Electric Association.
Arthur Miller, yes.
The City of Seward.
Taylor Crocker, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association.
Travis Million, yes.
Homer Electric Association.
Sarah Lamb, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
All right. With that, we're adjourned. We're going to take about a five-minute hiatus to set up for the RTO meeting, and then we will start with that.
And just for those on the Teams meeting, the RTO is a different link, so I'll be shutting this off and joining the other one. Thanks.